text, Hallmark Channel presents Valentine Ever After. A crane sits next to the Chicago Sun-Times building. A group of people cross the street at a busy city intersection. Text, Amuse Entertainment Production. In an office, a woman moves a logo around on a website titled Caldwella. Credits. Autumn Reeser. Eric Johnson. A man appears in the doorway of the office. She looks up from the screen.
Julia, you'll never guess what I just did.
Let me see. You called Ada Gregory and told her that Abbott Industries agreed to settle. Your voice carries, you know, especially when you're gloating.
Well, it was very gratifying to give her some good news.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you worked hard on that case.
I'm not the only one who's been toiling. I read your brief on the Weber case. Excellent work.
You don't think it was too short?
No, I thought the argument was very persuasive, to the point. Reminds me of the way your mother would construct an argument. Wish she was here. See how well you've done filling the empty space in this office.
Well, it's not exactly filled yet.
You'll pass the bar exam. Third time's a charm. And you're studying hard, I see.
Actually, I'm working on a new look for the website.
Oh, procrastinating on the studying, huh?
Maybe just a little bit.
That's okay. You got a couple of weeks to buckle down. Say, why don't you come over to the house on the weekend and I'll help you study.
She takes a breath and nods.
Yeah, okay.
I really wish your mother was here to see what a fine woman you've become, especially today.
What's special about today?
He shakes his head.
Oh, nothing. Don't mind me. Don't you have some dinner plans with Gavin tonight? It's almost 5.
You know, I think I'm going to call him and see if he wants to do takeout instead, because I really want to keep working on the website.
Nonsense. All work and no play is unhealthy. You need to get away from this desk and forget about work for a while.
I need to shut down my computer.
I will take care of that. Go. Come on, get all gussied up. Have a good time.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow, Dad.
All right. Enjoy, huh?
They hug, and she leaves. Later, she walks through a restaurant, smiling.
Gavin. I'm late.
Kisses man on cheek. They sit.
Sydney came over and wanted to pick out my dress, and then she wanted to do my makeup. It was so odd.
Sure.
And my dad was acting strangely today, too.
Right.
Oh, you're on the phone. Sorry.
All right, sounds good, Hazel. Tell him we're going to go ahead with the deal. Make sure you follow up with the memo. I got to go because Julia has arrived. Yeah, I'll tell her. Okay.
You'll tell me what?
Well, she hopes you like your present. Sydney did pick out a nice dress. You see, I can listen to two things at once. It is one of my many skills.
Can you say more about this present?
He slides a menu over, revealing an envelope.
A love letter. You haven't written me one of these in ages.
Open it.
You used to write the sweetest things when we were first dating. I saved all of them, you know.
Well, you can add that to your collection. It might be my best one yet.
She reads the words on the paper.
Turn around?
He nods.
Want a string quartet, but this is what they have.
She turns to see a mariachi band.
Why?
He stands and walks towards her. He kneels down.
Julia, if there's one thing you know about me...
He raises his hands at the band.
Julia, if there's one thing you know about me, it's that I pick winners. Whether it's a hedge fund, a stock, or the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with, I know a good thing when I see it. You and I, we're going to accomplish great things in this life. Julia Charlotte Caldwell. Tell me you'll marry me.
He opens a small box, revealing a sparkling diamond ring. Julia gazes at it, taking a deep breath and opening her mouth. Gavin looks at her, smiling.
Yes! Of course I do. Yes, why wouldn't I?
He slips the ring on her finger. They stand, kissing and hugging as people gather around them.
Oh my goodness!
Julia hugs Mrs. Stanheight.
I think you can call me Sylvia now.
Dad, this is why you were talking about Mom so much today.
They hug.
Congratulations.
She smiles, then lifts her hand, showing the ring. Later, they all sit together.
I'm so proud.
So, is it time to set a date?
Oh, no. We just got engaged.
Well, a June wedding would be lovely.
Now, our corporate retreat is in June, you know.
Oh, you're right. Well, July and August are much too hot. Are we looking at fall, then?
I think fall's still a little soon.
Well, you don't want to wait till winter, then you won't be able to wear a sleeveless dress.
No, I don't want to wait any longer than the fall.
Gavin, sweetheart, it takes time to plan a wedding.
Oh, you don't need to worry about that. I'll take care of all of that. We would never expect someone as busy as you to be organizing a wedding for 200 guests.
200?
Or maybe three, depending on how many you're going to
invite. Well, I can put a list together, honey. I'm thinking 60 or 70.
Well, here's to a fall wedding, then.
And here's to having a lawyer in the family. We can't wait for you to come and work with us at the foundation, Julia.
They clink glasses. Julia looks down, then takes a sip. Later, Julia stands with a woman in a kitchen.
Sydney, look at this picture in the paper.
Please tell me I am not in Belinda's column again.
Julia opens the paper.
Oh, you and Gavin. She printed good news. How refreshing.
Sydney walks away with the paper. They sit on couch.
How are you doing with all that, by the way?
You mean, how am I doing with my cousin announcing to the whole room at my dad's birthday party that Chad was cheating on me? Or how am I doing with people calling me night and day to tell me that they read about it in the paper? And I thought it was going to be a new headline today. Hotel heir humiliates clueless girlfriend.
I'm sorry. I've never had my picture in the paper, ever.
Welcome to the Uppercrest. Say hello to five-star restaurants and goodbye to privacy.
The Uppercrest, huh? Never envisioned myself with an Uppercrest sort of life.
Oh, well, it's a terrible hardship, but you will get used to it.
It's easy for you to say. You were born into it. I'm the scholarship kid, remember?
Julia, you've been with Gavin for 3 years. You must have at least thought about marriage before last night.
I mean, I was just trying to get through law school, and then I was trying to pass the bar, and I was going to think about it after I passed the bar.
But you love him, right?
Well, of course I love him. I'm just really thrown for a loop. I mean, I have to pass the bar exam in 2 weeks, and then apparently get married in front of 300 people.
At least you have exciting news to look forward to.
Right. I can't even show my face because of stupid Chad having an affair in the paper writing about it. I wish I could just leave town till all of this blows over.
Julia gazes at her.
Why don't you?
Why don't I what?
Leave town. I'll go with you.
Go where?
Julia spins paper around on coffee table.
Don't you remember that ski trip that we did senior year? We had the best time, and this will be like the sequel in beautiful Wyoming. They have a special for this weekend.
This weekend? You have to study, and you just got engaged.
Exactly. Yes, I just got engaged, and so I want to do a bachelorette thing.
Sydney tilts her head.
Sid, I need to do a bachelorette thing, and you need to get out of town and away from all this drama with Chad. Come on. It'll be fun. Let's just go.
Well, as your maid of honor, I'll call and make the reservations.
Julia smiles as Sydney stands and walks off. Later, a man carries bags towards a taxi. Julia and Gavin follow.
Don't you think it's weird to be flying off somewhere? I just put a ring on your finger.
Yes, you did. Here it is.
Okay, and you think that would mean that you talked to me before deciding to leave town?
Well, I don't know. I thought you would talk to me before you decided to pop the question in front of our families, but you didn't. And so I didn't. Look, we're going to get used to this whole being engaged thing. Sydney and I just got this wild impulse.
I think this is your impulse. I think that you're nervous about getting married. I can sense how tense you are.
I'm not nervous about marrying you. I am nervous about everything that's supposed to happen between now and then.
I don't know what's intimidating about planning a wedding for 400 guests.
Now it's 400?
I'm teasing you. Look, hey, why don't you forget Wyoming and we run away and elope this weekend?
Really?
Yeah. If I want to be disowned, sure.
She smiles.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. Take off for the weekend, but just come back to me, okay?
Thank you. How could I not love you?
Mm. Bye.
She walks to the taxi, opening the door and sitting in the back seat. Gavin watches from the sidewalk. He smiles. A plane flies through a clear blue sky with the sun shining overhead. A car drives across a bridge over a gorge surrounded by mountains and snowy hills.
I'm so glad we're here. We're so far from any city.
We're so far from any Nordstrom.
Are you sure you know how to use the GPS?
Yes. You drive, let me navigate.
They enter a town.
So I go left here, yeah?
No, right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go right.
Okay,
trust me.
They drive down a dirt road.
What's happening? What's wrong with the car?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was the giant rock we drove over.
The car jerks and sputters, then comes to a stop. Julia and Sydney get out.
Let me navigate, you said. You can clear that rock, you said.
Why did you listen to me? No one ever listens to me. Why did you?
Just call a tow truck. I'm gonna see if I can figure out what's wrong with this car.
Julia bends down as Sydney taps the screen of her phone.
Well, we're dragging a piece of metal. That can't be good. Yeah, no signal. No signal.
What?
Nothing. Nothing, not a single bar. Is that even legal to leave us without coverage?
The last house we passed was at least 5 miles back. And it's definitely freezing out right now.
What are you saying? We could freeze?
Not if we walk really, really fast.
But we could actually die. We could freeze to death. But I'm not ready to go.
They turn to see a man on a horse in the distance.
Is that the Lone Ranger?
They wave their arms in the air.
He's coming to rescue us.
Julia sighs as the man slaps the reins on the sides of the horse. The horse takes off and canters down the hill. The horse slows as they approach the women. The man, wearing a cowboy hat, walks the horse closer, stopping and gazing down at them.
Well, hey, cowboy, are we glad to see you?
Glad to clear the rock.
They look at each other.
We're stranded. We could use help getting a tow truck.
Well, Mike Dietz has the only tow service in town, and he's laid up with a broken leg. So if you guys can sit tight till morning, we can get you all straightened out.
Ooh, we can't wait until morning. We'll freeze out here.
Yeah, my mother wouldn't be too happy about that, so. My family ranch is just over in the next valley. You're welcome to spend the night with us if you want.
That's incredibly generous. Thank you.
All right, well, I'll go get my truck. You sit tight, and I'll see you in a few. Ben Thomas.
Julia and Sydney.
Sydney waves. Ben waves back and rides back up the hill. The women jump in place and get back into the car as Ben rides off. A large white farmhouse with dark green shutters sits on a small hill covered with snow. A truck drives in front of the property, passing a sign that reads, Destiny Ridge Ranch. A man exits the house as the truck pulls up to the porch. Ben and the women get out of the truck.
Oh, back in civilization. Well, almost. Thank you, Ben. You are practically a knight in shining armor.
Oh, that's what it feels like you got packed in here. Oh, I think you broke my back. This is Dale, the ranch manager. Hi. My mom, Lily, on the porch.
Hi, these are the strays you found, honey. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Destiny Ridge Ranch. Come on inside. I got a nice fire going.
You are a saint sent from heaven.
She's quite the character.
Part of her charm, though. I'll get the door.
Thank you.
Ben carries bags into the house. Later, Lily carries a pot.
Here we go. Should warm me right up.
You are so nice to let us stay here, Lily, and our room's just perfect.
Well, it's a pleasure just to have visitors. It gets kind of quiet here in the winter.
Mm, that smells so good. But what is it?
It's just beef stew. Oh. Here, try it with one of Lily's biscuits. They melt in your mouth.
Oh, no, thank you. Carbs.
Oh, yes, please. Carbs.
Em, come get your dinner.
Not hungry, Daddy.
Oh, that's my fault. I gave her a sandwich about a half an hour ago. Her mom works at the hospital, 12-hour shifts. I look after her in the afternoons. She dotes on Ben and I dote on her.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Where's my picture?
I'll make you one, Daddy.
She walks to Julia.
I like your ring. Sparkly.
Thank you. I just got engaged a few days ago.
Ben looks at her with wide eyes and walks off.
Congratulations.
Oh, this is the best thing I have ever tasted in my life.
Dip a hunk of a biscuit in there. Go on, be brave. Yes.
It really is delicious. I feel like you could open a restaurant with this.
Well, if Ben has his way, I'll be cooking for an army come summer.
Ben wants to turn this place into a dude ranch. Get some of those tourist dollars coming our way.
That's a great idea. It's so beautiful here. You'll be booked solid.
Yeah. A dude ranch.
Horses, Sid, not men.
Sydney nods.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Still fun.
Yeah, we figured people from the city can come up, you know, learn to ride a horse, go on trail rides,
Enjoy the fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Eat beef stew to their heart's content.
Mmm, and then what?
Ben looks at her. Lily furrows her brow. Sydney looks around the table.
You know, like little people do at night for fun.
Well, you know, we figured they'd want to relax and rest.
Wait, so you're going to invite a bunch of tourists here and then tell them to go to bed early?
Dale tilts his head.
Ben, honey, after dinner, why don't you show these gals where you go to have a good time?
Yes, please.
A neon sign in the shape of a man riding a bucking bronco with the word welcome emblazoned on its side sits atop a building with a sign in front that reads, Million Dollar Cowboy Bar. Ben and the women walk in.
It's a little different than the bars you're used to, I'm sure.
Are you kidding? Cowboys on the dance floor? See ya. Mothers, lock up your cowboys. Sydney Ross is in town.
Come on, let's grab a seat.
Ben and Julia sit at a table. Sydney walks to the dance floor and grabs a man's hand. They dance.
This place is great. I especially love the stern-looking security guard here.
Oh, well, that is Silas Emmett, the founder of Emmettsville. Believe it or not, that statue is one of our most important historical monuments. It's worth a pretty penny, too.
Oh, well, so of course you keep it somewhere safe, like the local bar.
Well, we keep it where people will be to enjoy it.
A woman approaches.
Hi, Ben. I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, Kim.
How's the ranch?
Oh, good. This is Julia. She's staying down at the ranch.
Hey. Oh, for how long?
Oh, just for tonight. We took a detour on the way to Jackson Hole.
Oh. Well, what can I get you?
Julia?
White wine, please.
Just club soda for me. I'm driving.
Thanks.
Maybe I can steal you for a dance later. And my boss isn't looking.
Kim walks off.
Another girl who dopes on you.
No, we're just friends. We've known each other since grade school.
Oh, wow. She's been waiting a long time for you to get a clue.
Ben looks at her, furrowing his brow. Julia smiles. Sydney smiles as she applauds and walks around the dance floor. Ben and Julia watch the band on the small stage. Sydney sways back and forth as other people get up to dance.
This is pretty great.
You don't listen to much country music, do you?
Well, sometimes. Like by accident.
Ben smiles at her. Sydney removes her dance partner's hat and places it on her head.
Sid seems to be having a good time at least.
Sydney places the hat back on the man's head. She spins around, crashing into a woman holding a drink.
What's wrong with you? My bad. I'm sorry. I can pay for it. That was not my most graceful moment.
That's what you think you're doing. Waltzing in here wearing that getup and flailing all over the place.
Okay, you can insult my dancing, but not my fashion sense. I'm not the one wearing country floral in the winter.
This is my favorite shirt. We'll see how you like it.
Tosses drink. Oh! Sydney stumbles into the statue of Silas Emmett, knocking it over. Sydney gapes at the statue as people gather around. Later, Julia stands in front of a height chart holding a sign that reads Sheriff's Department. She turns. Sydney holds the sign, turning her head to the side and smiling slightly.
Oh, hey, wait, I wasn't ready. Can I see it? Can I do it again?
Julia browses a bookshelf in an office.
I don't know what that means, emergency session in the judge's chambers.
It means they're not sure they arrested us on the right charge and they want the judge to weigh in. Emmettsville Municipal Code.
She takes a book from a shelf. The judge walks in.
What exactly do you think you're doing, young lady? This is not a library.
He walks to the desk. Ben and a man in uniform walk in. Julia sits at the desk.
You see that? That's evidence of the careless destruction of a historical monument. And that's a felony.
An accidental felony.
Well, actually, witnesses saw you, Miss Caldwell, rush at the statue and push it right over.
But that's not true. I was trying to save it.
That statue was a monument to my great-grandfather with an appraised value of $30,000.
I would like to see the statute because I think maybe you're misinterpreting it.
Are you saying I don't know the laws of my own county?
No, sir. But I'm an attorney. Well, I will be
you once... You two are responsible for the willful destruction of this town's most cherished possession. Now, I'm not an unreasonable man. I could sentence you to 2 years. But if you accept a reduced charge, say, disorderly conduct.
That's a misdemeanor.
I'll give you 30 days.
Sydney lifts her eyebrows.
In jail? Would we have to wear those horrid orange jumpsuits? Couldn't we just pay a fine?
He doesn't like to do that. He doesn't feel that people actually learn their lesson that way.
Ben raises his hand.
Judge, far be it from me to tell you how to do your job, but what about community service? Have them work it off. I mean, I can personally vouch for these two that they meant your granddaddy statue no harm.
I might be amenable to community service if you keep them at your place.
What?
Put them in one of those workers' cabins you got. Saves the town the cost of putting them up.
Now, Judge, who are you trying to punish, me or them?
Well, it was you that took them to Charlie's now, wasn't it?
Ben opens his mouth and looks at the man in uniform.
So, here's what you metropolitan ladies can do. You can stay here, stand trial with a possible 2-year sentence, or you can accept the reduced charge of disorderly conduct with 30 days of community service, starting Monday, 6 a.m., sharp.
The women look at each other. Sydney purses her lips. Julia looks at the judge.
I'd like to make a phone call.
No.
Ben opens a door and turns on the lights, revealing a small cabin with cots and a trunk.
As you can see, I've always been in these cabins for months. They're pretty much empty all winter long.
We have to sleep in here. It's fine. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Ben looks down, smiling.
Come on, you think this is all funny?
No, I don't find any of this funny. Forced to house two disorderly criminals like yourselves.
Julia lifts her eyebrows.
Yeah. Pillows and blankets are in the chest there, and I'll turn on the water for you in the bathroom. Just, there's no hot water.
I hope you won't judge me if I cry. Where's the thermostat?
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's no furnace in here, but...
Hold on.
Don't cry. The tears will freeze on your face.
I got this little guy to take the edge off.
Picks up device.
What you do is you just plug them in, just set yourself up in front of it. When you're ready for bed, you get all nice and toasty, and then you just scoot under the sheets and your body warms up the bed.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. All right, I'll leave you to it. Oh, and you're gonna want to sleep in a hat.
Julia blinks at him.
Night.
He leaves.
Sleep in a hat, I'll wake up with Hathead.
In the morning, snow covers the ground outside the cabins. The women sleep while the heater rotates between their cots. Julia pulls her blanket down.
We're still alive.
Julia looks at her phone. Seeing Gavin's name, she picks up the phone.
Hello?
I just listened to your message. Are you serious? You took a plea bargain on some bogus charge and agreed to 30 days community service?
Well, if I left you that message, I guess it wasn't a bad dream. Yes, of course I called my father. He said that in a small town, the judge can basically do anything he likes. Technically, we did break the law, even though we didn't do it on purpose, and we were lucky to get this offer.
What about the bar exam?
I'm gonna have to reschedule it.
I don't know what's going on, but I asked you to marry me, and all of a sudden you're...
I'm what?
You're acting irresponsibly. Do you have any idea how bad this will look if it gets out?
How is it gonna get out? The paparazzi aren't exactly staking out Emmettsville.
You're making light of it.
No, why are you trying to make this all serious and heavy?
Because we're engaged now. What you do reflects on me and my family. Do you have any idea what my dad is gonna say about this?
Well, don't tell him.
Really? Lie to my dad. Lie to my mom when she wants to get together with you next week to start planning our wedding.
Gavin, what do you want me to do?
Make a run for it?
What I want is for you not to have gone anywhere.
What I want is for you to be here with me in Chicago having breakfast
like we do every Sunday and feeling excited that I asked you to be my wife.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. Call you later.
Julia frowns and places her phone on the bedside table. Sydney runs from the bathroom and jumps into her bed. She pulls the blanket over her.
I just saw a spider in there bigger than my Gucci clutch. I guess you heard every word. You okay? Yeah. He's just... I don't know. Hey,
I'll call him. You know, tell him that this was all my fault.
No, it wasn't all your fault. It was an accident and any...
Pulls back curtain, seeing snowy mountains.
Oh, wow. It's gorgeous.
It snowed last night.
Just looks cold to me.
Julia gazes out the window and smiles softly.
Sydney?
Yeah?
It's Sunday. It is our last free day before our cruel and unusual punishment begins. We're gonna go exploring.
She pulls back the blanket, gasping. Outside, Em sits on a horse while Ben holds the reins and leads the horse slowly. The women walk up to Dale watching from a fence.
All right, keep your heels down.
Chest up nice and tall. Nice and tall on the saddle like a cowboy.
Em smiles.
That's it for today. Arm around me.
Oh. Lifts her off horse.
Great job.
Thanks, Ben.
Come on, let's go get something to eat.
Ben walks to fence.
Look who's up early.
Well, we were calling and calling for room service, but nobody answered.
Would you like to work up an appetite before breakfast?
Hey, either of you two interested in going for a ride today?
Oh, I would love to go riding.
Sydney shakes head.
No, thanks. I need a latte.
She walks off.
Wait, bye.
Ben smiles at Julia.
Let's get you saddled up.
They walk off. Later, Julia leans on the fence, looking into the distance and smiling as snow falls. Ben walks up behind her, leading a horse by the reins.
Julia, meet Sundance.
Oh, aren't you a beauty?
Come on, let's go into the ring.
Oh, when you offered a ride, I was hoping you meant on the trail.
Well, we like to get our new riders just started in the ring.
It's okay. I'm not a new rider. I used to go all the time with my mom when I was a kid. It's like riding a bicycle, right? You never forget.
Well, we'll see. Let's see up there first.
Walks to horse. Ooh. She puts her foot in the stirrup and reaches for the pommel.
Okay.
Need a hand there?
Okay. Nope. Got it.
Grasping the pommel, she jumps and pulls herself up.
That's a bit harder than I remember it being.
There you go. Oh. Why don't you take the reins?
Okay. It's a little bit higher than I remember it.
All right. Well, if you're comfortable up there, why don't you just start with some slow circles.
Okay.
Sundance walks slowly in small circles.
You don't want to just go in circles, do you, Sundance?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, hey.
She taps her legs on Sundance, who runs off. Ben smiles.
City girl can ride.
Sundance and Julia trot around the outside of the ring, passing several other horses.
You wait for me!
He runs off. Later, she walks in the stable.
Hey, boy. Brought you a treat.
Gives horse carrot.
Seemed like the least I could do to say thanks for the ride.
I've been through this. Have you seen last month's numbers?
They're not that bad.
I'm gonna go say thank you to Ben, too.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better if you could charge those girls room and board.
You know I'm not gonna do that.
A lot of calendar year between now and the summer tourist season. I just hate to see you guys have to sell this ranch.
Dale and Ben spot Julia around the corner.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm gonna start mending that fence.
Dale leaves. Ben looks at Julia and walks off.
Ben!
Julia! I don't want to ride him doesn't mean I don't want to feed him.
Sydney gives Sundance a carrot.
Hey, after this, do you want to pick out our outfits for community service tomorrow? I was thinking that pink will really brighten our spirits.
Julia nods.
Sure.
The women sleep in the cabin.
All right, come on, ladies. Rise and shine. Time to get to work.
Julia looks up, then reaches out and picks up her phone. She looks at the screen.
5:57. Time to get up.
She gets out of bed.
He said 6 a.m. We have 3 more minutes.
Police car.
I can't believe you're just telling me this now. Ben and Dale said the ranch is in trouble.
What did they say exactly?
They said they're having trouble paying their mortgage.
But Lily said that ranch has been in the family for 5 generations.
Right. So imagine how upsetting it must be for them to face possibly losing it.
We have to give them some money for letting us stay there.
Well, of course we will.
My dad is already wiring me some money. Let's give Lily some cash today. Great.
All righty then. You ladies ready to get to work?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want you to meet Roy Wilson. He gets some help from the community program to do some of the farm chores that he can't do because of his arthritis. So you two just do what he tells you to do, all right?
You think you two girls can muck out the stalls?
What's mucking?
Using a rake, Julia lifts a pile of hay and horse manure in a stall in the barn. She tips the rake into a wheelbarrow as Sydney flings her rake, hitting Julia with manure.
Oh, Sydney?
I'm so sorry. Honest mistake.
Sydney walks back into a stall as Julia scrapes the pile of manure from the ground. Later, Sydney stands next to the full wheelbarrow.
Done. Okay.
Julia lifts the handles of the wheelbarrow and walks forward.
Jules, look how cute this horse is.
She runs into a wall. The wheelbarrow falls over. Later, the women lift a bale of hay in the barn.
Okay, wait, when he said to bring the hay to the paddock, he didn't mean for us to actually carry it, right?
Yes, that's exactly what he meant.
Okay, but what if we drive it instead? I saw a tractor right over there.
Sydney, we don't know how to drive a tractor.
Oh, come on. How hard can it be?
Julia looks towards the doors of the barn. Later, Sydney places a bale of hay onto a stack sitting on a tractor claw. Julia sits at the wheel of the tractor.
Yeah.
To do steer. You know how to do that. Piece of pie. Piece of cake. Cake is complicated. Pie is easy. Okay. Down, reverse. Here we go.
Tractor jerks forward.
Julia!
The tractor smashes through a fence in the barn and comes to a halt. Julia stands in her seat, her mouth agape. She warms her hands by the heater.
I gave Lily the money your dad sent.
Sydney climbs on bed.
My back hurts. My shoulders hurt. My arms hurt. Even my fingers hurt.
Well, I think I finally got the farm smell off, but I can't really tell since you drenched this entire place in perfume.
It seemed necessary at the time.
Please tell me that's pizza delivery so we don't have to walk all the way to the house to eat. Come in!
Ben enters the cabin.
Sorry to interrupt, but wow.
Yes, you're entering the site of a tragic perfume accident.
He looks at an envelope in his hand.
Wow. Mother said you came by the house and you gave her this. Well, we really appreciate the offer and it's very generous. We can't take your money. Thank you.
He leaves the cabin. Julia looks down as Sydney shakes her head.
Doesn't he need it? Why wouldn't he take it?
I'll go talk to him.
She walks outside.
Wait.
Ben keeps walking.
So you're allowed to help us, but we're not allowed to help you?
We're not a charity.
Well, what if we don't want to feel like we're a charity case?
That's not my problem.
Look, you know I'm a lawyer.
Oh, boy.
So you know I can win this argument.
No argument.
If you would turn around and have it with me.
All right, here's the argument. This is my ranch. My finances are none of your business. Case closed.
She stops and watches as he walks away. She looks at the envelope. Later, she prepares vegetables with Lily in the kitchen.
Are you sure you can't convince him to take the money? I mean, yes, I know there's the whole stubborn male pride thing, but you'd think he'd listen to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story. 10 years ago, Ben's father noticed that a lot of cattle ranches are being swallowed up by big corporations, but horse ranches seem to escape that fate with all this development going on in Jackson Hole. Lots of folks who are looking to buy horses and board horses and train horses. So we mortgaged this place to the hilt and rebuilt for horses instead of cattle.
And then the recession hit.
Yes, you know this story.
I hear it all the time in my father's law office.
So suddenly, people couldn't afford the luxury of owning a horse.
And you and Ben inherited the debt.
Yeah. And Ben's done everything he can to keep up with the payments, and he's gotten rid of all of our hired hands but Dale, and he sold off half of our horses. And I think the Dude Ranch is a good idea.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, but I think it just might be too little too late. We don't have enough cash to make the kind of improvements we need to make. So maybe now you can understand why he doesn't want to take your money. It wouldn't be enough to make a difference. And why sell your pride if you're worried you're about to lose everything else? But We appreciate the offer, thank you. You're a good person, Julia. We're glad you're here.
That smells good, Mom.
Ben walks in, glancing at Julia, then looking away. Lily opens the oven door.
I'm gonna go wash up.
Julia watches him leave, taking a deep breath. During the day, Julia and Sydney stand together and talk while the sheriff's deputy talks to a woman. He approaches them.
Maybe if we keep you two off the farm, we might have better luck. So this should be nice and easy. You just need to put some storm windows on for the Widow Harper. Now, the boys have already dropped off the storms, and they're here. All you need to do is pick them up, put them over top of the windows, and fasten them with the brackets, okay? Shouldn't take you more than an hour. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's get it done.
Okay. They lift a window and walk up the porch stairs. They drop the window. Julia sighs and looks at Sydney. The deputy walks around the corner.
I'll call my dad, ask him to wire me more money.
Yeah.
He puts his hands on his hips. Later, they stand in the hallway of a hospital with a woman in scrubs.
Okay, this is your last chance. If you fail at this, it's back to the judge. Ladies, my wife, Molly, she has bravely volunteered to take the two of you on today. Of course, I did tell her she should probably separate the two of you to minimize any possible damage.
Either I'll put one of you on patient care and the other one on cleaning duty.
Cleaning duty.
Looks at Julia.
More manual labor.
I'll clean. You're still exhausted from yesterday.
Thank you.
Alrighty then. You are now officially in charge of these two cheerful young ladies, and I will see you back home later. Oh, and I'm gonna turn the ringer up on my cell phone, Molly, in case everything goes awry.
All right, honey. See you at home. Okay, Julia, you stay put. Sydney, I'm gonna set you up with George. Come on. Hi.
Bye.
Don't break anything.
I'll try. Come on.
They walk off. Julia looks at a poster for a hospital renewal fundraiser, with a chart showing $50,000 raised out of the $250,000 goal. Sydney wheels the man into a room with other patients.
How about a game of checkers?
How about not?
Okay, TV then.
She stops the wheelchair and picks up a remote, then sits in a chair next to him.
What happened to the last girl?
Don't know.
She picks up her phone and looks at the screen. He glances at her, furrowing his brow, then looks back at the TV.
The other girl was so chatty, she got on my nerves. But right now, I'm starting to miss her.
Sorry, just checking Twitter. Twitter is like a social media
thing. I know what Twitter is. Oh. You think I don't pay attention?
Well, I'm trying to decide if I should tweet my own mugshot or not. You know, stay ahead of the story. You know, my dad says it's always important to shape your own brand, and I have had a bad PR week. My boyfriend, or my ex-boyfriend, is Rollins, is in the hotel chain, and he cheated on me, and word got out, so I'm pretty worried my social currency has taken a nosedive.
Well, you're more interesting than the last girl. All she did was talk about her cats. So, I'll bite. What did you do to get arrested?
She looks at him.
Disorderly conduct. But it was really just a disorderly accident.
Is that right? How so?
Well, me and my friend Julia, we were in Charlie's bar and I was
at the dump.
I liked it. Or at least I liked the tall cowboy I was dancing with.
Is that all he had to recommend? That's the trouble with your generation. You're all shallow.
She looks at him, her mouth open.
You know the trouble with your generation? You're all judgmental.
He smiles.
What was the cowboy's name? Maybe it's somebody I know.
Hallway.
George, how's the new girl work now?
6 out of 10 so far.
6? I just said I'd play gin rummy with you. That should at least get me an 8.
I haven't seen you play yet. You might be a dud.
I take the 6. The last girl he gave a 3.
Well, I'm not leaving until I get an 8. You hear that, George?
Julia mops. Molly walks past.
Hey, Molly, how long have you guys been running this fundraiser for the hospital?
Oh, I don't know, a couple of years now.
A couple of years?
You can't run a fundraiser for a couple of years.
Are we playing cards or not?
Hold your horses. Raising money means grabbing a moment and creating a wave of excitement. Trust me, my mom runs a charity and she is an expert at getting money out of people. She says that if you want people to open their wallets, you have to have a clear message and a short timeline. What you need is a big event.
You say you want to be an 8. I've already dropped it down to 5.
Okay, we're going, we're going, we're going.
Sydney wheels him away. Molly carries a bucket filled with water from a leak in the ceiling. Later, the women sit in the farmhouse.
Here we go. A nice pot of tea will perk you up.
Thank you.
Hey, Lily.
Hey.
You're going to pick up Emma.
Oh, Dale took her down to the stable. They should be back in about a minute.
You must be Sydney.
I am.
Oh, pardon me. This is Patty. Dale's wife. Emma's mom.
Right? Oh, your little girl's such a doll.
Oh.
Isn't she? And you're Julia with a sparkling ring.
I'm surprised you three didn't meet at the hospital.
Yeah, I did hear you two had come in to help out today. How'd it go?
Well, we didn't break anything, so great.
Well, no one would have noticed if you had. There's so many broken things. Broken pipes, leaky roof, even the ultrasound machine is on the fritz. You see why we're always trying to raise money.
Well, it's too bad we don't know how to fix pipes. We could have done that for our community service.
That's it.
That's it.
She smiles. Later, the judge sits in his office, watching a video on his computer of a cat playing with a ball of yarn. Taps keyboard.
Who is it?
The deputy enters.
Hey, Joe, you got time to listen to a crazy idea?
Maybe, maybe not. Whose crazy idea is it?
The women peer around the doorframe, smiling. The judge places his hand on his forehead. Later, they sit with Lily.
Let's have a bonfire.
Yes.
That'd be fun. So we figured marshmallows, weenies,
hey.
Sausages.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Ben walks in. They smile at him.
What's going on?
Ben, we have the most wonderful news.
What news is that?
We're holding a fundraiser for the hospital.
If you agree.
Well, of course he'll agree. It's for a great cause.
Well, maybe I need some more information than that, Mom.
Julia can explain it.
Okay. Sydney and I were working at the hospital today, and we noticed they've been having some trouble with their fundraising efforts. Now, it just so happens that Sydney has fundraising practically in her blood.
My mother has raised zillions for charity.
So we thought, what if for our community service, we ran a fundraiser for the hospital? So we talked to Judge Emmett.
And Judge Emmett thought it was a fabulous idea.
The most fabulous idea, where I go back to Chicago and sell raffle tickets to raise funds for the hospital. And the winners get an all-expenses-paid trip right here to your Dune Ranch.
Which will bring attention to this place. I mean, it doesn't have to be at your Dude Ranch.
Well, of course it does. Ben, it's going to be on Valentine's Day weekend. Isn't that wonderful?
He looks down.
I don't know if wonderful is the word I'd use right now. Unfortunately, we won't be ready for guests here until the summer, so I'm sorry.
Okay, so here's the best part. Judge Emmett said Carl could use the people that he's using for community service hours to help us convert the work cabins into guest cabins.
And I'll help, too. I mean, I'm going to organize the entire event, and I thought maybe I could build a website for your ranch.
Julia stands.
Look, I know this plan is going to work, if you're willing.
Lily looks at Ben, who looks back at her with his mouth open, smiling slightly. He shakes his head and slowly leaves the room. Julia and Lily watch him go. Julia turns back and lowers her head.
I'll go talk to him.
Good luck.
Julia follows Ben into the living room.
Okay, look. I know I should have talked to you before I went to the judge with my idea. But the last time I tried talking to you, you told me it was none of my business. And you were right.
He looks at her and takes a breath.
Yeah, this ranch is none of my business. I mean, I'm just somebody you picked up on the side of the road. And now here I am with all of these plans and ideas. Getting people to go along with them. And I'm sorry. I just got really excited about the possibility of actually being able to do something that might make a difference. I mean, actually, this is like the first time in a long time that I can remember actually being excited about something. And that's not your problem.
She nods.
Okay. No problem. I'm gonna find somewhere else to hold the fundraiser weekend. And, find somewhere else to stay.
He smiles.
Okay, what? What's so funny?
I think I just figured out how to win an argument with you. Just sit still, say nothing, and watch you squirm.
She smiles and lifts her eyebrows, placing her hands on her hips.
You're maddening.
Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
He looks down as she smiles at him. She takes a step towards him.
So are you going to let us hold the fundraiser weekend here?
He glances towards the kitchen.
Not that my mother's gonna give me much choice, but yes. It's too important to the community, but you gotta promise me that you're gonna stay, because I don't know the first thing about running a fundraiser.
I don't know the first thing about fixing cabins.
They both smile. Julia holds out her hand.
Are we a team?
He nods.
Team.
He takes her hand and shakes it firmly. Dan loads a truck with luggage as the women walk out of the house and down the steps, followed by Ben and Lily.
Okay, so I'll go back to Chicago, sell as many tickets as I can to my friends, my parents' friends.
At $200 a pop. Then we pick 20 winners. Wait, you can host 20 people here, right?
Well...
25?
Mom.
We're gonna stick with 20. They come out here Valentine's weekend, and we throw them a party here in this paradise like nothing they would ever see in Chicago.
Oh, but wait, we haven't talked about how we'll get everyone here yet.
Well... You know someone with a private jet.
If you're talking about Chad, we will not be using Chad's jet, but I will find a jet.
I have complete faith in you.
They hug.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, I feel like I'm getting the lucky end of the deal. I get to go home.
That's so funny. I feel like I'm the lucky one because I get to stay.
We had such an adventure, didn't we?
Yeah.
But I have a feeling your adventure's just beginning.
She tilts her head.
I'll see you in a couple weeks, guys.
See ya.
Bye, thanks.
She gets in the truck. Julia joins Ben and Lily on the porch, watching as Dale and Sydney drive away. The sheriff's car passes them as it pulls into the driveway and comes to a stop in front of the garage. The deputy gets out of the car, leaving two men sitting in the back. Ben walks towards the car.
Hello, Carl.
Hey, Ben. How are you? Come on, boys.
He opens the back door.
Gabe? Mike? Carl, is this what I think it is?
Yeah. These are the lawbreakers Judge Emmett sentenced to 8 hours of community service this week.
Multiple parking tickets.
Way to keep the public safe, Carl.
You're welcome.
Boys, why don't you come inside for coffee before Ben puts you to work?
Yeah, sounds great, Lily. Looking forward to it.
Ben and Julia watch as they enter the house.
I'm gonna get my tool belt.
Wait, we haven't talked about what you're gonna do yet.
I got a plan.
Well, I made a list. I was thinking that besides painting the cabins, you could add some shelving.
It'll all be taken care of.
You're also going to need more than a space heater. Maybe electric baseboards, because you should really be able to take on...
I know you're used to being the smartest person in the room, but you need to let me do what I know how to do. You take care of the fundraiser and the website and all that great stuff. Let me take care of my ranch.
So you think I'm the smartest person in the room, huh?
No, I said you think you are.
I'm pretty sure you just said I'm the smartest person in the room.
Whatever you say.
I mean, you don't know me very well, but you seem very perceptive.
Uh-huh.
Julia smiles as he walks off, watching him from the porch. Ben picks up a rucksack and a folding chair from outside a cabin and tosses them into the back of his truck. Gabe and Mike remove crates and boxes from the cabin and add them to the bed of the truck. Julia sits by a fireplace in the house, looking at the screen of a laptop. She moves a logo titled Destiny Ridge Ranch around a website featuring a picture of the farmhouse. Later, she sits in the kitchen with Lily.
Oh, the menu for the first night has to be beef stew for Sydney.
And I'll make biscuits without carbs for Sydney.
Julia smiles at Ben as he sits at the table. He takes a sip of coffee and smiles back. Later, she sits at a desk, the laptop open in front of her. She drags a picture of Ben onto a page of the website, next to pictures of the house, horses, the cabins, and Lily. She breaks into a smile as she gazes at the screen. She picks up her phone, looking at the screen showing Gavin's picture. She looks off and purses her lips. She taps the screen and puts the phone to her ear.
Hi, hon. Oh, I'm just working on a website for the ranch. It's turning out really nicely. Oh, you are? That's good.
During the day, Carl knocks on the door to the house while two men stand in front of his car. Ben steps out onto the porch.
Vandals. They threw a football through Buck Lachlan's barn window.
Ben looks at him, raising his eyebrows. Later, he, Julia, and the men unload a truck.
Ben,
On the last night, we'll hold a big barbecue. I was thinking we could make it sort of Valentine-y in the tent, like little cutout hearts and...
I could get Dale to hang up some of those twinkly Christmas lights inside. It'd be like a starry night sky.
That's perfect. Ben Thomas is a romantic. Who would have guessed?
We're gonna need a dance floor, too. So maybe we could find a wedding rental company to donate one, and maybe we can even find a band willing to donate their time.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll text you Fran Haley's number. She heads up the Rustlers.
Ah, yes. The band that was playing at Charlie's the night of my unfortunate arrest.
I wouldn't call your arrest unfortunate.
You wouldn't.
No? I mean, we'll think about it. If it wasn't for that, you'd still be in Chicago. I wouldn't have two painted cabins. Lily wouldn't be singing in the kitchen, and, our hope for the future of this ranch would be in short supply.
Well, now you see what happens when you let people help you.
No, I see what happens when Julia Caldwell puts her mind to something.
He smiles at her. She lowers her eyes and smiles back.
If you can ever think of any way I can repay you, you just let me know.
You know, I do have a way.
He gazes at her and lifts his chin. Later, they ride horses down a trail dusted with snow. Julia smiles as she trots behind him. Ben grins as she catches up to him. They ride together, heading to the left at a fork in the trail. Julia looks at him, and they both smile. Ben stands next to the two horses as Julia points her phone at the snow-covered mountains in the distance. She taps the screen and lowers the phone. He gazes at her as she smiles.
So beautiful. Reminds me of the stories my mom used to tell me about where she grew up. Tiny town in California in the Sierra foothills. Horse trails that went on for miles.
How'd she end up in Chicago?
Went to law school there. It's where she met my dad. You know, I don't think she ever really got used to living in the city, though. She always said it was too noisy. She couldn't hear herself think. Never really knew what she meant until I got here. It's like I can suddenly hear my own thoughts.
What are those thoughts saying?
She smiles and lowers her head.
That you were right. My arrest was very fortunate.
They look at each other. She walks towards the horses. Later, they brush the horses in the barn.
Once we get the horses settled, we can get started polishing those saddles and bridles that just came in for the fundraiser weekend.
I hope you know how lucky you are to do this for a living.
I don't know. Training to be a lawyer, taking the bar. It sounds pretty exciting. Fighting for justice.
Oh, it's less of a fight for justice and more of a slow slog through paperwork. It's not immediate, you know, it's not tangible like this.
Yeah, why do you do it?
It's a good question. You know, I don't think I ever really decided to become a lawyer. I was headed in another direction entirely, and my mom got sick. And there was this practice she and my dad had started, and I could just see how happy it would make him if I took her place. Just didn't realize how hard it'd be to fill her shoes.
Yeah, I know what that's like. My dad died, and I just felt lost.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Lost. Lost my mom, lost my will, lost my voice.
I don't know about that. I'd say you have a very insistent voice.
Sundance, did you hear that? I think he just called me loud.
I don't know. Sundance knows better than anyone just how determined you are to get your way.
Well, it's true. I think I have been rediscovering my opinions lately. Now, you're not one of those men intimidated by a strong woman, are you?
Have you met my mother?
I adore your mom. She is. She's so strong, but you wouldn't know it at first because she's so sweet.
Yeah. That's what I love about her. She's complex. She's generous and kind-hearted, but she's also fierce. She won't yield under pressure.
So that why you haven't gotten married? Lily's a hard act to follow. Oh, now you're gonna tell me it's none of my business?
I suppose you're right, though. I haven't met many women who can hold a candle to my mom.
She looks up at him. He gazes at her for a moment, then leads his horse into a stable. She watches him, her mouth slightly open. She takes a breath. Later, she sits on a bed in the cabin, her laptop open in front of her.
Okay, the file I need is on a thumb drive in my top drawer. It's in a folder marked Wayward.
Hold on a sec.
Sydney appears on a video call.
Found it. So, you haven't even asked me how many raffle tickets I've sold.
Sydney, how many raffle tickets have you sold?
208.
What? That's over $40,000.
I know. I mean, I had to use a calculator, but I know.
I knew you had it in you, but still. Wow.
And get this. My dad is so glad I'm doing something productive that he promised to match whatever we sell in tickets.
I think our crazy plan is actually going to work.
Of course it is. Okay, so what file am I looking for?
You can just email it to me. It's pieces of web code I need for the website I'm building for the ranch.
When are you going to put it up online? I could sell more tickets if I had something to show people besides the pictures on my phone.
Then I'll have it up tomorrow night.
Great. Add some pictures of that bar we went to. People keep saying they're afraid they're going to be bored at night. Better yet, add a picture of you dancing with a cowboy.
I'm sure you can find one nearby.
You talking to Julia?
Yeah. Hey, Jules, your dad is here. Hi.
Hi, Dad.
Hello there, my beautiful daughter. I hear you've been turning lemons into lemonade.
Dining room.
Well, I think that's a marvelous idea.
I thought so, too.
Yes, do that.
Yes.
They look good.
Hey.
Hey,
what you doing?
We are making curtains.
Yeah,
I am the measuring gal.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the cutting gal.
I'm the peanut gallery.
So we were also talking about possibly having a cowboy auction at the party, it being Valentine's weekend, and a cowboy auction being kind of romantic.
Yeah, that's how Lily met Ben's father.
Yeah. I bid for him at a flood relief drive, and I paid a whole $12 for him to take me on a picnic.
It's a good thing you didn't come cheap, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a sweet idea. Also, I need to take some photos for the website. Anyone up for some dancing?
The women look at each other, then look at Ben. Julia glances back at him.
Ben?
At the bar, Molly points a phone at them as they dance.
Okay, good.
Ben spins her in a circle.
Good.
Yeah, just look like you're having a great time.
Okay.
Just closer, though. Get closer, please.
She takes a photo.
Now, you're sure these photos are going to make people think that Emmettsville is the hotbed of nightlife in all of Wyoming?
A picture's worth a thousand words.
Well, okay then.
He twirls her away, then back towards him.
Oh, good. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. Just stay close, okay? Stay really close.
Hope these pictures turn out well.
Of course they will. You've got a beautiful smile.
She looks up at him as they sway back and forth.
You shouldn't say that.
Let's just pretend I did.
I'm not very good at pretending.
I'm terrible at it.
They stop, gazing into each other's eyes. Julia backs away.
You think we got them all? Yeah, I think it's good. Great.
Ben looks down, pursing his lips.
I can't.
She walks off. He turns and follows her.
Julia, wait.
She stops, her eyes widening. She turns to look back at him, then walks away.
Gavin, I wasn't expecting you. What a surprise.
He picks her up in a hug. She looks at Ben.
Hi.
Julia smiles at Gavin. Ben watches them speak, then walks slowly away. Julia and Gavin enter the cabin.
It's a little Spartan and refrigerated. My God, how do you sleep in a nice box?
Oh, I just toast myself in front of this little heater and I hop into bed and get all cozy. I've actually slept really well here. I think it's all the quiet, the fresh air.
You do look well rested. In fact, you look fantastic. Man, I forgot how beautiful you are, Jules. It is so good to see you.
This is such a surprise.
Surprise, I hope.
I want to show you everything that I've been working on for the website for the ranch.
But I'd just much rather you kiss me and tell me how much you missed me.
She walks to the door and opens it, seeing Ben.
Hi.
Hi. You all packed?
Packed for what?
The move up to the house. I thought I told you we're renovating this cabin first thing tomorrow morning, crack of dawn.
Oh,
Oh, I must have forgotten.
Yeah, well, don't worry, Mom's preparing a room for you. And we haven't forgot your fiancé here. Dale's got plenty of room down at his place.
Gavin smiles.
Fantastic.
In the morning, Julia descends the stairs and walks into the kitchen at the house, where Lily and Gavin sit at the table.
Good morning.
There she is.
Good morning.
I cannot believe I slept in. I never sleep in.
Oh, well, I was just telling your fiancé how hard you've been working and that I figured Mr. Sandman would come and claim his time eventually. He was also saying that he's got to get back today, so I will leave you to some time alone. A pleasure meeting you, Gavin.
It's my pleasure.
I hope you can make it back for our big weekend.
Lily leaves. Julia sits next to Gavin.
Well, I see why you're such a fan of the family. Nice people.
Salt of the earth.
You do know I'm nice people too, right?
Well, of course. You're more than nice.
Then why do I get the feeling like you're not happy to see me?
She looks at him and takes his hand.
Look, I know this isn't my real life, okay? My real life is in Chicago with you and Sydney and my dad.
We're gonna have a remarkable life. I've got it all planned.
I know.
Hey, I'm gonna give you everything, Julia.
I know, and I promise you I will get all caught up in our life again once this is over. I'll plan our wedding. I just hope that your mom isn't too offended if I don't ask for her help. Or if I don't want to go to work for your family foundation.
Well, good luck resisting her.
It's just that I've been finding my voice again, finding what's really important to me.
They look at each other.
Promise me you'll come back for Valentine's weekend.
Of course. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
They kiss.
Okay, I gotta show you around before you have to go. Come on.
They get up from the table. Julia sighs as they leave the kitchen. Later, Ben walks around the porch as Julia and Gavin walk outside.
Morning.
Hey.
Trust you guys slept well last night?
Yeah.
Gavin, I was just coming up to the house to see if I could put a hammer in your hand. Maybe come on down and help us work on the cabins today.
I don't know about that. A hammer in my hands would be pretty useless. Now you give me a phone and a computer and I'll take over the world.
I'm sure you could.
Seriously, if you ever need any financial advice, interventions, I might be able to help you out. In fact, I might even be able to help you out with that little cash flow problem you're having. You know, I better get my heavy coat.
He walks to the truck.
You've been talking about my financials.
Of course not. I would never do that. I don't know how he knows. Maybe Lily said something.
He looks down.
You still going for that walk?
Yeah.
She glances at Ben, who gives her a small smile. She walks down the steps and joins Gavin, taking his arm. Ben watches them walk down the driveway, then enters the house. Later, she walks past a horse in the barn.
Ben? Ben? You here?
She sees Sundance in the stall.
Hey, handsome.
She approaches the horse. Dale walks in carrying a saddle.
Julia. Hey, Gavin got off the airport okay?
Yeah. Just left. He said to say thanks for your hospitality.
She looks back at Sundance. Dale nods, furrowing his brow.
Gotta go pick up Emma from school soon, but, you all right?
I have no idea.
Tears well in her eyes. Dale nods and takes a breath. Later, Emma climbs out of the truck in the driveway, carrying a red paper heart. Ben walks out of the house.
Head on into the house. Show Lily what you made in school today. Oh, well, that is beautiful. Hearts are my favorite. Dale, you seen Julia? I've been calling her phone. I can't find her anywhere.
Oh, I thought she'd be back by now.
Back from where? She took Sundance for a ride. Said she wanted to get some air.
She's off on her own?
Yeah. Well, you said she was an experienced rider. I'm gonna go look for her.
Ben walks off. Later, he rides his horse past a row of trees, slowing as he looks around. He taps the horse with his boots, who speeds up and trots forward down the snow-covered trail. He approaches a snowy hill, turning and riding up and over it. He canters around a tree, seeing Sundance standing alone. He pulls the reins, bringing his horse to a stop next to Sundance. He nudges Sundance with his leg and walks his horse closer. He grabs Sundance's reins.
Come on, let's go. Come on.
Julia!
He looks around as he walks his horse forward, pulling Sundance next to him. He rides over snowy ground and sees Julia walking.
Julia!
Oh, you found him!
Did he throw you? You all right?
I got off to take a picture and forgot to tie him up. He's spooked.
You know how much you scared me?
He dismounts his horse and ties the reins to a tree. Julia lowers her head as he walks towards her.
You okay?
She looks at him with her mouth open and lowers her head again.
Look, I don't know what's happening between us, but I'm engaged. And I'm gonna marry Gavin.
Ben looks down.
He's a good person. He was there for me after I lost my mom.
He raises his eyes.
So I'm gonna marry him. I already said yes.
She lifts her shoulders and gazes at him with wide eyes. He looks back at her, nodding slightly and pursing his lips. They both lower their heads. Ben looks up at the sky, adjusting his cowboy hat and taking a breath.
We should, get heading back.
He smiles. She nods.
It's gonna be dark soon. Glad you're okay.
They walk towards the horses.
The hearts go to Molly at the very end of the barn. Thank you.
1 week later.
Hey, Julia, these guys need to know where you want those tables.
Yes, here's the diagram.
Of course you have a diagram.
What? What's funny?
You drew little musical instruments on the stage.
I'm thorough.
Or you're not sleeping much at night.
Dale walks off.
You have no idea. Sydney!
Hi! Okay, so everyone actually showed. We're about to take flight now. I hope you're ready.
Okay, see you soon. Fly safe.
Thanks, bye.
Howdy, stranger.
Ben.
He walks towards her.
T-minus 6 hours until the first guests arrive.
Well, it comes down to tonight, huh?
Your very first guests. Can you believe it?
I want to show you something.
Right now?
He walks off.
You coming?
Okay.
Two men unload chairs from a truck as she follows Ben. They walk in front of the cabins. They approach Julia's cabin, the door painted white, with curtains hanging over the windows and furniture on the porch. Ben opens the door and they walk in. She looks around the cabin, now with a lamp, rug, and bathroom door.
Wow.
She walks around as Ben stands behind her, smiling.
And a wood stove for warmth. It's beautiful, Ben.
All the volunteers we had were amazing. I couldn't have done this without them. I'm gonna call this the Caldwell Cabin.
She gazes at him. They smile at each other.
So does that mean I can stay here when I come to visit?
You don't have to do that. Pretend like you're coming back.
I'm not pretending. I was already looking at some dates for next summer.
All right, well, if you do make it back, it'll be right here waiting for you.
He nods and smiles. She smiles back softly.
Listen, I just want to say thank you. I didn't transform this place, you did. Your great ideas, your passion, your open heart. This whole town owes you so much. You're an extraordinary woman, Julia Caldwell. I just hope you know that.
They look at each other.
I've felt extraordinary here in this extraordinary place. I mean, if I had my way, I...
She takes a deep breath and gazes into his eyes.
I promise I'll come back, okay?
She walks to the door, touching his arm as she passes him. He turns his head as she opens the door and leaves. He looks back at the cabin, then turns around and stares at the door. Later, trucks decorated with red hearts sit in a row outside an airport. A plane flies overhead and touches down on a runway. Men in cowboy hats stand in front of the trucks, talking. Carl stands in front of the sheriff's car. Sydney walks out of the airport, arm in arm with two women.
Welcome to Wyoming. And feast your eyes on some genuine cowboys, ladies.
Welcome to town, ladies. Right this way.
Okay, bye.
Sydney walks off with Carl while the women and several other guests join the men in cowboy hats and walk towards a truck. The sheriff's car and three trucks drive past the Destiny Ridge Ranch sign in front of the farmhouse. Dale walks out of the front door of the house and onto the porch, holding a walkie-talkie.
We're headed down the drive now.
Lily, Molly, and Julia join Dale on the porch.
Oh, this is so exciting. I'm nervous that this isn't even my place.
Ben walks up behind Julia and places a hat on her head.
Little present for you.
Thank you kindly.
Sydney smiles from the passenger seat of the sheriff's car, then gets out and runs to Julia.
I'm back! And we didn't even get lost this time.
Hi.
They hug.
Oh, Dad! I'm so glad to see you!
Would you look at this place?
Come meet the Thomas family.
Hi, Ed. Walter, pleased to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Hello, Walter. I'm Lily.
Hi.
No, this is Lily.
The guests walk up the driveway towards the porch.
Welcome! Come on in for your fabulous Valentine's weekend!
Later, the guests mingle in the dining room, decorated with paper hearts. Ben places a bowl of biscuits on a table covered with food. Julia taps Sydney on the shoulder.
You ready to do this?
I am. Oh, you're here!
Walks to Gavin.
I missed the private jet, so it's a flight commercial.
They hug and kiss. Julia and Ben lock eyes from across the room.
Well, get yourself a drink and some dinner. I was just about to make an announcement.
Okay. Go get them, Tiger.
Sydney walks to the fireplace and faces the room.
How y'all doing tonight? Welcome to Destiny Ridge Ranch. This whole weekend honors you, the winners of our raffle ticket drive to raise funds for the Emmetsville Hospital. Now, you'll be very happy to know that thanks to generous people like yourselves and my own loving daddy, we have raised over $200,000. And you're probably wondering what you'll be up to all weekend, and my awesome best friend Julia is going to tell you because I have no idea. Take it away.
Hello. Is this not the most beautiful place you've ever seen in your entire life? So Sydney and I stumbled across this ranch by accident, literally, and we were so wowed we knew we could not keep it a secret for ourselves. So let me go through what we're going to be doing this weekend. Tonight, we want you to just relax after your long trip. Stay as long as you want, mingle, then you can all head back to your cabins where you will sleep like a log in this fresh, cold air, I promise you. Tomorrow, we're gonna have breakfast in here at 8. Then at 10, Ben is gonna lead a trail ride, followed by a delicious lunch at noon. Tomorrow night, we have our big Valentine's barbecue for the whole town. We're holding it right here at the ranch. We've got live music, we've got a dance floor, and we're gonna be auctioning off a dance with some cowboys for our good cause.
And you already know we have some very handsome cowboys here.
So thank you again so much for coming, and please have a wonderful weekend.
Gavin stands with a man.
I thought you said you weren't coming to this thing.
That's a pain, but apparently it's important to Julia. Bless your little bleeding heart.
Oh, I know what it means to be married to a do-gooder. That's why I'm here. Melinda is a sucker for a sob story, no matter how obscure.
I don't mind a little do-gooding every now and then, but if, you know, if Julia develops a taste for coddling the downtrodden, well, just have to put my foot down.
Tried that once. Just got a sore foot.
Julia listens from behind. Guests climb into vans.
It's going well, right? It's not just my imagination.
I think everyone's having a blast.
Well, I know the shopping excursion will go well. I have lots and lots of experience.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Julia holds walkie-talkie.
Molly, did you ever find the tablecloths that the caterers left?
No, but I'll look into it.
Okay. No, just explain to me one more time. Okay.
Never mind. I'm gonna look for him in a bit.
Got it.
No. You tell him the deal is done. He initialed the memo. That's as legally binding as his signature. Right, you tell him that and then you call me back. I gotta go. Okay. Hello, fiance. Long time no see.
We need to talk.
She walks off down the porch. Gavin turns to watch her, then follows. They enter the barn. Gavin looks around as Julia walks briskly between the horse stalls and enters an office. Gavin walks in behind her.
Hey, look, I would prefer the couch by the fire at the house, but...
Yeah, but there's too many people milling about the house.
Yeah, and you have such a serious look on your face. What's up? Something happened?
What happened is I found out you don't really want to be here.
What? What do you mean you found out?
I overheard you talking to someone from Chicago. You said it was a pain to get here, and you were only here because of me, and I think you should go.
Okay, look, honey, that's just a guy thing. You know, we bond by complaining.
No, I'm not taking you to task. I'm asking you to go. And I'm asking you to take this ring with you.
Wait, you're breaking off our engagement?
I'm sorry.
Because I said you had a bleeding heart?
Because I shouldn't have said yes when you proposed. Had I been in a place where I could hear myself think, I wouldn't have.
He looks down at the ring.
Gavin, we're not suited for each other.
We're not suited for each other? We were suited for each other a month ago, and a month before that, and then a year before that.
Oh, maybe that's so, but maybe that's because I didn't know what I was suited for.
He places his hands on her shoulders.
Okay, look. I know you're under a lot of stress, right? Let's not have this conversation now. Let's just wait till we get home.
I don't want to wait. I know what I want. For the first time in a long time, I actually know what I want.
He looks at her. She takes a deep breath.
Gavin, when we first met, I was so empty from losing my mom. And I was happy to follow along with whatever you wanted. You knew exactly what you wanted, and you expressed it in this loud, confident voice. And I relied on that. It's what got me through day by day. So, thank you. For that.
He backs away from her and sits on the desk.
But now I need to listen to my own voice. And I need you to let me go.
She holds out the diamond ring. She places the ring in his palm. He closes his fingers around it. She nods, tears filling her eyes.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Go.
He gazes at her. She exhales and lowers her eyes, nodding softly, then walks past a horse in a stall. He rounds a corner as Gavin leaves the office and walks towards the barn door. Ben stops in front of the office door as Julia approaches and stops suddenly, her eyes wide.
Ben.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you weren't interrupted. Ben, wait.
She watches as he walks back the way he came.
Julia, the caterers say they need to talk to someone in charge.
She holds the walkie-talkie in front of her face and walks off. Later, guests walk past horses in stalls and walk outside. Lights decorate trees in front of a stage where a band plays. Several guests stand together under a canopy. Sydney pushes George in his wheelchair.
I saw Edna Watney from the hospital. She tries to bid on me. I want to outbid her. I don't like her.
You want me to pay for you? I'd rather pay her to take you off my hands.
Don't.
I'm kidding, George. You are my date tonight, whether you like it or not.
I suppose that's tolerable.
Yeah, apparently. There. Looking good. What can I get you?
Some cake.
Great. Be back.
She stands, leaving George at a table. He taps his hands on the tabletop and looks around. Julia talks to two guests. She looks around the party, then smiles at the guests, saying a few words, and walks away. She walks between tables, approaching Sydney and Dale at a buffet table.
Dale.
Hey.
Hey, have you seen Ben? I haven't seen him all night.
Ben? Yeah, he's over with Molly.
Oh, thank you.
She walks off, then walks through the crowd with Molly. Julia approaches him from the side.
Ben, I need to talk to you.
It's fine, Julia. Just be happy.
He walks away.
Hey, come on down to the stage, everybody. Don't be shy.
Cowboys join Molly and Ben on the stage.
Now is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are going to auction off some cowboys. Yeah. Now, normally a cowboy auction means a picnic. But tonight, it's going to be a sweetheart dance. Now remember, all the proceeds go directly to our hospital fund, so be generous. Now, we're gonna start our night with our host for the evening, the very handsome Mr. Ben Thomas.
He smiles at the audience.
We'll start the bidding at $25.
Daddy says I can bid $50.
Thank you, Princess.
Sorry, cutie, but I want him. $100.
Oh, $100 from the lady in white.
$150.
Ooh, I have $150 over here.
$200.
That's $200.
$300.
Ben looks at Julia with wide eyes. She steps forward.
I need to talk to you. Talk later. I want to dance. $1,000.
Julia shakes her head.
I don't have that kind of money.
Hold on. We will in a moment.
Walter runs to her.
Dad, wait. Before you should know I don't plan to go back to Chicago.
I knew that the minute I saw you. How much do you need?
$1,120. $1,200.
Lily walks up.
Oh, boy. A mother knows when her son has found the girl he can love forever. Here, advance deposits on bookings she made on the ranch.
Come on. I've got top bid.
Hold on. This is for charity.
Julia counts money.
$1,500.
Oh. Sold to Julia Caldwell for $1,500.
Julia smiles at Ben, who looks at her with his mouth hanging open. Julia hands the money to Molly and holds out her hand to Ben. He tilts his head and walks towards her. Later, they slow dance among other couples on the small dance floor in front of the stage. Lily and Walter watch from a distance. Ben looks off as Julia gazes up at him. Lily and Walter smile as Ben turns Julia in a circle. Julia smiles up at him.
Now we can finally talk.
Awfully expensive conversation.
They sway gently back and forth.
When you set your mind to something, you certainly go after it.
Well, clearly my mind is set on you.
He looks to the side.
What does your fiance think about that?
I don't have a fiance anymore.
She holds up her left hand.
See? When you saw us coming out of the tack room, we just ended it.
He looks down at her.
Mind if I ask why?
Because long before we were engaged, I would look at him and know he wasn't my future. I always had this little voice inside me telling me that. I finally listened. But when I look at you, I hear a voice that says, stay. Stay here with you. I want to know you, Ben. I want to work with you, ride with you.
He leans in and kisses her suddenly. They pull apart, their faces close together.
And that, I especially want that.
They smile.
You're gonna stay.
Yeah.
You're gonna stay.
She nods. Ben twirls her in a circle. He smiles broadly as he extends his arm and pulls her back towards him. Julia wraps her arms around his shoulders and they press their foreheads together, closing their eyes. They sway to the music and gaze into each other's eyes.